Blog Talk Radio.
Hey race fans, it's Q. Checkers or Wrecker Show on Speedway Anywhere. Your all-inclusive motorsports and even some multi-sports. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. You can also follow us at facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere and get the links to the podcast. Feel free to call in, join in the live show, 917-889-2053. We're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. And sometimes we do some live in-studio video, you know, so you can watch us make idiots out of ourselves. It's fun. And watch the live feed on the YouTube live as well. Both sites are facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. All one word, or go to youtube.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Typically, we're live up to 2 hours. Sometimes might cut it short. Sometimes might go long. I'm your crew chief, Q. I believe the doctors have released Captain Kurt from his doctor's orders, his restrictions. So he should be back with us tonight. It's March 18th. I had that wrong in my notes. I had to double check that. It's Monday, March 18th, 2019. Racing season is well underway for the big leagues and some independent series as well. Whether or not it's the K&N Pro Series or your local dirt track down in the south, anywhere in warmer climates, they've already kicked off. This is the weekend precap show. NASCAR Cup Series has 5 in the books, as well as the Xfinity Series. NHRA just ran their third event of the year, at the Gator Nationals in Gainesville. The IMSA series, IMSA, otherwise known as the sports car division, that owned by NASCAR, they ran their second event of the year. The first one was, of course, back at Daytona for the Rolex 24. They ran theirs at the 12 hours of Sebring after opening up their season at the Rolex 24. We're going to recap the weekend, get to some tidbits that came across over the wire, whether it was over the weekend or just today. And if multi-sports is your thing, there's lots going on. Even though football's in the off-season, who cares? A lot of business going on the trades and free agent weeks and drafts and you name it, they got it. Women's basketball season hasn't kicked off yet, but there is news in the women's as far as hockey. And I'm going to talk about that later when Captain Kurt joins the line. So if multi-sports is your thing, you know, lots going on there too, feel free to join us in the show at 917-889-2053. The phone lines are already open. Weigh in on anything eating at you about NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, IMSA, sports car, motocross. Is snowcross still going on? I would think that somewhere that season hasn't finished up. Also, I know that the Monster Truck Series hasn't made it to Vegas yet for their big finale, grand finale, call it what you will. Crazy to think that Major League Baseball is just over a week away, including in my home state of Minnesota. And no, the Dome is gone. They don't play there no more. So we'll see how that goes. Might be a handful of snow outs, just like there was last year. Maybe we'll get lucky. They're talking 60 degrees in about a week here as I sit in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area. So we'll see. I mean, we got a big one shortly after April 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. I just remember I couldn't get my truck out of the parking lot. The big news of the weekend was obviously Kyle Busch. Again, a lot of debate. The number 200 is significant when it comes to comparison to Richard Petty's 200 Cup wins. Now, notice I said 200 for Kyle Busch compared to Petty's 200 Cup wins. We won't go too deep into that until Kurt joins us, but I do like how it got the fans to hit the seats at Fontana. And let's face it, Fontana needs some help selling tickets. And another cool tidbit, if not a big bit, is Kyle Busch won his first cup race at Fontana, California. And he was also the youngest driver to win a cup race at that time. It made kind of a cool set of bookends, I guess I'll call it. He, you know, to get his first cup win there and then his 200th cup win there. He had won other races, of course, along the way. I remember seeing him before he was allowed to drive full-time in any NASCAR division. He was in town twice, once at Elko Speedway and once at the State Fairgrounds, which is now defunct. But yeah, he was racing in the ASA series. So, you know, it's a feel-good story. Whether you want to compare the 200 of Petty and the 200 of Kyle, yeah, I'm not going there yet until we get some listener feedback. namely the captain. Shirley Muldowney got back on the strip at Gainesville. More of that when we get to NHRA results. She wasn't the only one of the veteran classic drivers. So I want to cover that in depth, or in full, I should say. We're not going to go too deep into it, but it was a pretty cool Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Gator Nationals in Gainesville as far as the veterans coming out. The all-female team, speaking of, you know, Shirley, female driver. The all-female team, Kristen Legg, that had struggled at the Rolex 24, ended up finishing the full 12 hours at Sebring. Sure, it's not 24 hours, but it's still 12 hours. They got the job done, and I'm going to cover their results when we cover the IMSA IMSA race later in the program. Speaking of girls, we found out that singer of Motley Crue, Vince Neil, he's made 4 starts in the Indy Lights series. I wasn't aware of this. There is a little bit more to that. I don't know whether to hold back on that at this point, or there's been a lot of celebrities that have gone out and made some attempts at auto racing. None of them have made it like big as far as Daytona big, IndyCar big, but they've done a lot on the road circuits. I almost said roller coasters. Whatever. Vince Neil, singer of Motley Crue, made 4 starts in the Indy Lights series along the way. More drama during Cup qualifying. You know, the format that they have, and when it comes to a track like Fontana, where they do need a drafting partner if they're going to gain that extra 100,000th of a second. I don't think they can even measure them down to that fraction, but they can to the thousands. So more drama during that as far as when the drivers go to cruise off a pit road and get out there for their spot along with their teammates. And you got guys 5 side by side. And I wish I could explain it better, but basically when say that you're the first one on the left and his teammates the last one on the right, and they want to get together so they can get a good draft and do the thing during qualifying. A lot of ill feelings about that. Speaking of ill, Austin Dillon, he got the pole, but he fell ill and had Saturday's Xfinity winner, Cole Custer, on standby in case Dillon had to step out of the car. Dillon made it to the end of the race, the Cup race. And I found this to be an odd bed partners, odd fellowship. I say this because Austin Dillon drives for Richard Childress, which is a Chevy team. Cole Custer, the winner of Saturday's race, who was on standby, drives for Stewart Haas Racing in a Ford in the Xfinity Series. Sorry about the hiccups there. Now, I don't know how open-minded teams are that, you know, like Richard Childress Racing and Stewart Haas Racing are willing to, you know, share a driver, even though he's an Xfinity driver, like Cole Custer, to fill in for Austin Dillon when he's sick. Now, but they are willing to do each other a favor. And with a Ford guy in a Chevy or otherwise, or not sure what the manufacturer's standpoint is on this. I don't know if they want their guy, because even when a driver's under, say that you got a Toyota driver that's been locked into a Toyota contract driving for Joe Gibbs Racing. But his Joe Gibbs Racing contract is only 4 years, but Toyota has him for 7 years. And he can only go to another Toyota team if he doesn't stay with Gibbs after that 4 years. Does that make sense? But when it all comes down to it, hey, got to help brother out. That's kind of been along the way. I mean, NASCAR is family, and they're always going to be family. And I do have another case in point along the way with that. You have, I made a bunch of notes, and I'm not going to cover all of them because it would take up pretty much the whole show. I do remember one instance back in, 1998 or 1999, Dale Jr. and Matt Kenseth were not Cup drivers yet. They were making some starts, but within, there was a rule that you're only allowed to make 7 starts in a series if you're going to run for Rookie of the Year the following year. So it was 98 or 99. Bobby Labonte had a clavicle / that's your shoulder blade injury during practice or qualifying. And Bobby wanted his Gibbs team to see if Dale Jr. or Matt Kenseth could take over the car. Now, Dale Jr., of course, Chevy all the way in the old number 8 in the Busch series. Well, actually, he might have been driving the AC Delco number 2. But Matt Kenseth started the Busch series in the number 17. He was always 17. And that was Robbie Reiser's car. It was a Chevy. Now, I believe at the time, made the decision to put Matt Kenseth, or to let, I should say, Matt Kenseth step into the Cup car of Bobby Labonte. Bobby Labonte made this, without having sure details, I'm just going to say Bobby Labonte made the start of the race. I think he was driving a Pontiac. Kenseth got in the car on the first round of pit stops. He finished the race. I believe he actually finished like 11th, but the way it worked at that time, and I'm not sure it still does, is that that gives Bobby Labonte the finishing position of 11th. I have only burned up a fraction of the tidbits in the big bits, and we still need to get to some weekend results for you. The studio line is open, 917-889-2053. When we come back, we'll bring you the Cup results, and then we'll also get to the Xfinity series, what the schedule's looking like. And then, as I looked at the word, and then, the IMSA series, the NHRA, and we have a pretty good section of multi-sports tonight. And it involves all different facets of stick and ball sports, and some news that just broke yesterday as well. So we'll be right back.
today. I've been watching NASCAR and drinking beer. That's your favorite sport. Yeah, NASCAR is too. You know, NASCAR is very hot right now. Oh, I know. Everybody loves NASCAR. Well, Sweet Daddy said it's just a bunch of guys driving in a circle. Oh, I know. That's my favorite part. They're making a left turn. It's a sport that's easy to follow when you're hammered.
Hey, everybody. Studio line 917-889-2053. Once again, 917-889-2053. Weigh in, chime in, tune in, do all the above. And you got something to express about motorsports or multi-sports? We got you hopefully covered. And if I don't, you tell me about it. The Cup Series, the obvious news is Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch getting his 200th overall NASCAR Major Series win. Major Series being the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, formerly known as the Busch Series. And ironic, isn't it? And then, of course, the Truck Series, now called the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. He now has 53 Cup wins, and he's got to set a new goal. And his first words, 100 Cup wins. I'd like to see it. He would, I don't have all the names in front of me, but he might be like third for wins if he gets 100. I know, of course, you got Richard Petty. You got guys like, I'm not even going to go out on a limb and name the rest that are between 100 and 200, but I think it won't be but 2-3-5 years before we're going to add Kyle Busch's name to that list. It was a decent weekend at Fontana. There's a lot of wind on Friday and Saturday, but that subsided for Sunday's Cup race. And this, mind you, is under the newer engine and aero package. So it was a little different than watching the composite bodies in the Xfinity series and the way that that wind was able to kick them around. It looked like Kyle might have done exactly what so many do in the race. And I got to call him out on this. A lot of people give Kevin Harvick crap because he's so good at beating himself when he's running first and then he gets himself a pit road penalty. But yeah, they beat themselves. Kyle had a speeding violation on pit road, as well as, by the way, Denny Hamlin. Now, I kind of wonder if they don't risk pit road speed a little bit when they already got that when you're in their back pocket. You know, the they're in for the chase as long as they win in the first 26 races. But why is it worth the risk? I don't know. But yeah. Kyle had a speeding violation on pit road, as well as Denny Hamlin. They had to soldier back through the field, and if it wasn't for that final caution, it was looking like the two Penske drivers, the ones that are already when you're in, Logano and Keselowski, might have been battling it out for the lead. Another guy that had his eyes on that lead too was the other Penske driver, Ryan Blaney. But it looked like Keselowski and Logano were going to fight it out like in their previous wins this year. But caution arrived, Kyle found himself on the first row after pit stops under caution, and now the rest is history. 200 wins in the major three NASCAR divisions. Imagine that, though. This is the fifth race of the year. Hamlin's won, Keselowski won, Joey Logano won, and Busch won last week. Kyle Busch, by the way. So they're all the drivers who pretty much set the scenario for the end of the race. Had it not been for the caution, it would have been Logano and Kez, if not Blaney, by the way. And then, but instead, Kyle got his second win of the year. And he got the win of the fifth race. So after late caution, everybody sorted it out. And it ended up being Kyle Busch for his second win of the Cup Series in 2019. Joey Logano in second, who has a win. Third went to Brad Keselowski. Keselowski has a win, by the way. Kevin Harvick took fourth. And Penske teammate of Logano and Keselowski, Ryan Blaney. All three Penske drivers in the top five finishers at Fontana. They're looking pretty strong. I wanted to make more notes of this, and I didn't, but it's kind of typical of me. When you look at the other races that they've ran, you've had Ryan Blaney toying with the leaders and leading races, just like Eric Almirola. But in years past, last year at least, all four Stuart Haas racing drivers, one who's not there anymore, Kurt Busch. But Kurt Busch, along with Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, and newcomer to the team last year, Eric Almirola, who's looking so strong. It seemed like Stuart Haas, that was the team to beat. I got my eyes on the Penske cars. I'm not saying this out of bias, because God knows they're not my favorite drivers, but Ryan Blaney is definitely poised to grab a victory this year, just like he snuck that one in at the Roval. Remember that? Jimmy Johnson tried to wreck Martin Truex Jr. Yeah. No, he didn't try to, but that's just the way it kind of happened. So Ryan Blaney ended up winning that race last year. I think he'll get a victory in a different scenario this year. And then, of course, Brad Keselowski and Logano already got their lock for the chase. This put all three Penske drivers in the top five of this race, and two have wins already. So I just looked through my notes. It's embarrassing because I just said two have wins already, but I actually put a three there instead. So it's a good thing I didn't follow that. As far as points and the win year ends, it's Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch with two wins. So that makes Kyle Busch the winningest this year. Big surprise. And first up in points is Kevin Harvick. Got to give a hats off to Eric Almirola, as I just mentioned. He's six in points with four top tens already this year. Martin Truex Jr., who was part of the big three, you know, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick and Martin Truex. He's seventh in points, but he struggled with some early race damage. Ed Fontana, he's still been doing fine for that transition over to the Gibbs team, which everyone's kind of kept their eye on. Chip Ganassi Racing teammates, Kyle Larson, and like I just mentioned last year with Stewart Haas Racing, Kurt Busch, they are eighth and ninth respectively. So, not too bad for that two-car team. Penske teammate we were just talking about, Ryan Blaney, he's knocking on the door with a win. He rounds out the top 10 for points, though. So, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, all got top fives at California. Brad Keselowski and Logano both have wins for the win you're in scenario. Ryan Blaney, he's sitting at 10th point-wise. So I'm not going to go past top 10 for points. It's not even necessary at this time of year. The Cup Series comes back Sunday at Martinsville for the first short track race of 2019. Some people consider Phoenix to be a short track, but I call it anything under a mile. Phoenix is technically a mile. I'm going to break for a second here. I got to nurse the voice and take a look at who's going to be on. If Kurt's coming to join us, I don't want to get too far ahead as far as the multi-sport news and otherwise. So we'll be right back.
I wish I had something I could shot through the window. That's the 11th time this year I've gotten the hell knocked out of me. It just gets frustrating after a while.
11th car got into me, cut the left front down. Went around like shit all day anyway.
We'll save it for another day. Xfinity Series. Kyle Busch, I know, it's all about Kyle. Kyle Busch was looking for that number 200 win, but had to settle for second. I'm not so sure he wasn't protecting second and maybe wanting to save his 200th for a Cup Series win. I mean, it's possible. I wouldn't put it past, you know, a lot of drivers. The great news is Cole Custer got his spot in the Xfinity Series chase early this year. he can just go out, not be conservative, maybe be a little experimental, maybe speed on a pit road a little bit, like all the other drivers that are already locked into the cup chase. So now that he's got that spot, who knows? But yeah, I like that. I like that guy, and he's a Stuart Haas. He's a Stuart Haas racing guy, and you know, instead of coming in and winning late in the season, matter of fact, I think that the Xfinity Series was already into their chase when Custer finally won last year. Remember that it was 2017 that Custer got his first win at my favorite track in the world for sentimental reasons. It was the closing race for at Miami for the Xfinity Series 2017. So that's the great news. Not so great was there was a nasty wreck for John Hunter Nemechek. He's been he's been strong, but he's got to put it all together. And then even like Ross Chastain, who got dumped out of the DC Solar deal, whatever, in the 42. And John Hunter Nemechek actually won in that number 42 last year. So I don't know what it is, though. JHN, as the broadcasters always call him, obviously is the son of Joe Nemechek, named after John Nemechek, who passed away in a truck series accident, which I believe was in 97, might have been 96. I know it was at Homestead, though, on the old configuration. So, anyway, let's not go too far into that. I wanted to mention Garrett Smithley. His dad did the flyover for Saturday's race. It was done in one of the big cargo planes that dump water on the fires and whatnot. He was fighting the fires in California. That's just cool. So, yeah, Garrett Smithley, he did the flyover for Saturday's Xfinity race. Garrett is the driver of the number zero Xfinity ride. And his dad is one of the many firefighters who have battled the wildfires in California, and not for his first time. I thought that was probably the coolest tribute to the men and women who battle those fires out there. Don't you think, Captain?
Yeah, and I don't mean to be making a joke here, but I think I've heard that California right now, too, now they're going to be possibly dealing with some extreme flooding. And another thing I like to add, though, about them firefighters, some of them, they do not make a lot of money doing that.
And the truth is a lot of them don't make any money off of that. But I don't want to go too far into the that end of it. But yeah, I got to say that flyover at Fontana, nonetheless, what a tribute. I just, that rocks.
Including having to go into sometimes taking one of them big planes into a lake, you're 2,000-3,000 feet in the air, and then all of a sudden, hey, we got to go back to the lake. You go right back to the lake, go down on it for 10 seconds, pick up some water, and you're doing it all over again.
Well, as if it's not dangerous enough when your helicopter putting 5-ton bucket into a lake. Can you imagine scooping that? I mean, we're not talking 3,000 to 5,000 feet. We're talking 300 to 500 feet.
Yeah.
But this is a horsepower show, and nothing's got more horsepower than an aircraft. So, but yeah, I got to get back to the rest here. So, Garrett Smithley, he finished off the day in 19th, three laps down. But hey, who cares? That was probably my top five, and you're going to know why I said that wrong in just a second. That was probably my top five of flyovers, not flyovers, I've ever seen. That was a awesome tribute. So finishing order for the Xfinity Series was Cole Custer, obviously, for the win. Kyle Busch finished second. Third went to Christopher Bell. Last year's champ, Tyler Reddick, in fourth. And Chase Briscoe picked up a top five. Hey, I was talking earlier in the opening notes. The way that Kyle Busch kind of rode around and kept third, fourth, fifth, and the rest of the field at bay. And Custer got the win. Don't you kind of wonder if Kyle Busch wanted to make sure that his 200th win was in the Cup Series?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it just seemed too perfect. Kind of like the end of the Wayne's World movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just as if it was meant to be. Now, I went through this already, and for everybody that's, you know, doesn't want to hear it again, I apologize, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is kind of a bookend kind of deal, because you know where Kyle Busch got his first Cup win?
Where?
Fontana.
Hmm.
Now, you know where he got his 200th Cup win?
Fontana.
Fontana. I mean, of course, he had some wins in, be it the, you know, the Truck Series or the Busch Series, or maybe it was the Nationwide Series by then. I don't know. But so it's almost like it was by design. I don't know. It just, watching the race, it didn't look like Kyle Busch was ever threatened by the third place car. And it seemed like Kyle Busch could have moved closer to Cole Custer, who had the lead. I don't know. We'll never know. He'll never tell us. So, but yeah. So Cole Custer, Kyle Busch, third went to Christopher Bell, last year's champ, Tyler Reddick in fourth, and Chase Briscoe picked up another top five this year. He's running full time. Chase Briscoe kind of got screwed last year because he wasn't running a full schedule, although he was a winner. So there went his when you're in scenario. So speaking of when you're in, Michael Annette, he won Daytona. Christopher Bell won Atlanta. And then there was a couple weeks that went by where Mr. You-Know-Who, Mr. 200, he won the race at Las Vegas and Phoenix. And now Cole Custer won California. So we do have three drivers with a win you're in lock in the Xfinity series. So you know how I'm going to bitch and throw a fit about how the second place driver, if it's not a full-time driver in the series, should get, or excuse me, I said that wrong. If a driver that wins the race is not a full-time driver in the series, whoever's next down the line should get the playoff berth. But that's just me and my two cents. And if you take me and my two cents, we could throw a hell of a party with the people that agree with me. Two cents at a time on that, right? Xfinity Series takes the weekend off and comes back March 30th at Tejas, Texas. All right, trucks. You know what's been going on with them? You should be able to cover last weekend pretty easily.
I really can't remember because of the week I've had.
There's nothing to remember. They didn't race.
Okay.
Can I make this any easier for you? Gander World Truck Series has been off since Vegas and returns this weekend on March 23rd to open up the events at Martinsville. So far, Austin Hill is the only series regular with a win you're in for the Truck Series chase at Daytona. Guess who screwed up the rest?
Who?
Kyle Busch!
I almost had to race in a truck this week, but last week, but I didn't.
I like the ones with the fancy flickering lights and sirens. People just get out. People just get out of your way. It's really cool.
No.
Even though you're usually too messed up to enjoy it. Oh, this show's just gone from stupid to stupider, or dumb to dumber, or something like that. I believe Kyle is on the entry list for Martinsville, by the way. I don't know why, but the good news is he's only allowed 5 starts in each of the lower echelons, lower series, the, you know, Xfinity and I forgot to turn down the ringer on my phone. It's probably a damn Jeremy Mayfield again. But yeah, I believe Kyle's on the entry list for Martinsville, but the good news is he's only allowed 5 starts in each of the lower echelon series, be it the Xfinity and the Truck Series. He's got most of his starts out of the way. They're not all out of the way. But the problem is, guys like Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, and more, they maybe used up 1 start, if any, at this point. And you know how that goes when they get on the track with the Xfinity series and all that. I don't know how focused the Ganassi team of Kyle Larson is. After, you know, the whole DC Solar thing went on. So, but now with the Penske teams who seem to be owning every track they touch, you know, when it comes to Brad Keselowski and I don't know if Logano's going to touch the Xfinity series. I guarantee you Brad Keselowski. But you got to consider that number 2 car is off limits. I believe that's Austin Cindric. Yeah. If I'm correct and if I'm wrong, I am so embarrassed. But yeah, that car is kind of off limits except to the driver at Penske who's driving it full time. So let's do bumper for a second. I'm going to grab Gatorade Zero. And then when we come back, we're going to hit up the NHRA, new and old, the veterans and the new class.
All right, and I'm going to take care of something real quick.
So, hey, everybody, NHRA ran the Gator Nationals and a little bit of something they call the unfinished business. We'll grab onto that in just a second. Top qualifiers and top field was all about the women of horsepower. What do you call them, Kurt? All right, he disappeared. So, Brittany Force set a new track record, and Leah Pritchett made it to the final round of qualifying on Saturday. She fell short of reaching the line against Brittany, but Brittany set the track record on a brand new set of pavement that was rather slow starting out on Thursday. And as the rubber started to get laid down more and more and more and more, Brittany Force now owns the track record, but that was qualifying. So Sunday's results ended up top field. Somebody that I'm not real familiar with, Richie Crampton. He took top field. Funny car went to John Forrest Racing's Robert Height, who is the only one in the funny car division now that Courtney has retired. Pro Stock went to the funniest name in drag racing, Bo Butner. You know, there's going to come a day when I meet Bo Butner, and he's going to be like, oh, you making fun of my name? You making fun of me? Pro Bike returned, where Andrew Hines got the Wally. Do you know what the Wally is named after? I think we still lost Kurt. So the Wally is actually named after the proprietor, the inventor of NHRA, the first guy. It's kind of like the first name of NASCAR, you know, the France family. Thank God they don't call their trophy the Francie. That would just be awkward. Now for the fun part. Multiple veteran classic drivers of the NHRA got together driving spec-built Toyota that produced 301 horsepower cars for exactly that unfinished business. Sure, they didn't blaze down the straightaway. They didn't exactly make tread. According to the drivers, they're probably the fastest passenger cars that they ever drove, but that was kind of interesting to watch, because when you see something going 330 miles per hour down the straightaway, and then all of a sudden you're watching these Toyota Camrys go down at 60 miles per hour, you're just like, You have enough time to go and do whatever it was that Kurt did and come back and see the finish. So, NHRA ran the Gator Nationals and something they called unfinished business just to get you back up to speed, even though that wasn't fast at all. top qualifiers and top field was all about the women in horsepower, and I said that, and I said, what do we call them, Kurt?
Whoppers.
See, but you weren't on the other end of the phone, so I sat here in silence for an awkward, like, 2.73 seconds. But it's all good. Brittany Forso, to catch you up, because I know you don't know this, and maybe somebody else should join the program. Brittany Forso set a new track record at Gainesville. It had new pavement and all this other stuff, and it was down to her and Leah Pritchett on Saturday for the final round of qualifying. So I heard that, by the way, excuse yourself. And, but that was on Saturday. That was before it really mattered, down to the brackets. So, Brittany Forrest, she set the track record. Leah Pritchett, something happened at the start line and she never made it to the, line. So, but yeah, when all was said and done, Sunday's results ended up Richie Crampton, Robert Height, Bo Butner, and Pro Bike, Andrew Hines. So, here's the multiple veteran classic drivers of the NHRA. It was Don Prudhomme, Don Garlitz. See, all these people have nicknames. I didn't have time to look them up. I told you I ran late today. So, Don Prudhomme. I know that Garlitz is Big Daddy Don Garlitz. Do you know if Shirley Muldowney ever had a nickname?
Wasn't it like Cha-Cha or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was like Cha-Cha or something.
Isn't Don Prudhomme the snake?
Yeah.
What about Kenny Bernstein?
That I don't know about.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. Joe Amato, and then Warren Johnson, Terry Vance, and Ed McCulloch. Do those two ring a bell at all with you?
No.
Yeah. But, yeah, those were your eight in the converted 301 horsepower Toyota Camrys that they got to race against each other. Over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it ended up being Warren Johnson. They even started measuring around his car just to see if, like, the tire pressures, is it, you know, why is this car so much faster than the others? And it just turns out that the guy's a little better than the other seven. But, yeah, that was the unfinished business class. Don Prudhomme, Don Garlett, Shirley Mablani, Kenny Bernstein, Joe Amato, Warren Johnson, Terry Vance, and Ed McCulloch, and Warren Johnson was the one to finish the job at Gainesville.
Huh.
So, all right, here we go. And this was what I told you earlier was going to be the difficult part. IMSA, IMSA. I was not able to research this a whole lot, but that's okay. We'll get over it. The 12 hours of Sebring. DPI, DP1 class. Felipe Nasser. Eric Curran. And how do you even pronounce the name People? P-I-P-O. Isn't that kind of like one of the queens of England or princesses or Pippa or Pippa or P-O-P-A? So anyways, they took first in that division. Overall, they took first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, obviously it's a very dominant design of car. The only one that comes in next finished 10th in the GTLM class with Nick Tandy, Frederick McAweeky. I don't know. Guy needs to call me and tell me how to pronounce it if he doesn't like the way I said it. And then Patrick Pallet. So they were first in GTLM class, and then I'm not even going through all these until I get into LMP2 finished first with Kyle Massenhausen. No, Massen. It's what they get for having foreign names. Well, you know what I mean. At least I admit it, unlike Trump. Cameron Casella and Andrew Evans, yeah, were first in LMP2. GTLM, all the way back in eighth place. Tommy Milner. Now, here's where it gets interesting. GTD. You know what that is, basically. That's just your converted Porsche with doors that swing upwards, and they pray the engine lasts 12 hours. That kind of thing?
Yeah.
All right. So, who cares who won? It was Catherine Legg, Anna Beatrix, and Christina Nelson. They finished 8th out of 17. Remember, I told you about the class of cars that was going to start at Rolex?
Mm-hmm.
They ended up in eighth place, and their car actually finished. Granted, it's not a 12-hour race. Or, excuse me, 24-hour race. And, you know, the girls put it together. The girls got it done. And it's been a weekend about girls. Vince Neil. We're going to get to him in a second. All right. The IMSA series, they'll return at Long Beach with the IRL series. And that's the weekend of April 13th to the 15th. It's not going to be a 12-hour race. It's not going to be a 12-hour Rolex 24. But they'll be doing a endurance race, a timed race. You know, kind of like what we saw downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they got going on. Speaking of IndyCar is going to my favorite car, favorite track in the world. Just because it looks so colorful. Down there in, what is that, Austin, San Antonio? You know, the Circuit of the Americas?
Yes, I do.
It's a beautiful thing. So that's where Indy will be on March 24th before they jet off to Long Beach. All right, you take over. Gophers.
Which one? The one that's going to the dance or the one that's not? Well, the women's are going to be in the NIT. Don't know who they'll play. Well, I think this would be very, very, very interesting, though, if Rick Pitino was still a head coach, but he's not. And, but just happy for them, and they had a good year against Purdue. So, you know.
Of course, Pitino's dad was the coach of Louisville, correct?
Yeah, yep. So, if Rick Pitino is still coaching, this would be very, very interesting. It's already interesting, though, because it's still Louisville, so. Just happy that they got in. They were kind of supposed to, but, you know, and then they kind of picked it up. And not that they would be better against Michigan, but what can you do when you're playing that many nights and days in a row? So, but not disappointed. Not disappointed at all.
Sorry, I'm sending a message here. I'm trying to make it quick, and I didn't, but who cares? Next subject. Let me get back to where I was. I hate computers without a producer. Whitecaps.
First team, first year league. I mean, just get the first one out of the way.
You know, I was juggling through a few different points in the season, and it looked like there was maybe a team that didn't compete. You know what I mean? Like, if a NASCAR team, for instance, isn't competing for points, but they're still competing for a win.
Yeah.
It looked like there was a few teams that did come across during the season. But the wins that the Whitecaps got against them still counted. So
yeah,
even though there was only five fully sanctioned teams, it looked like there may have been seven overall. So let's hope maybe those seven teams come and join. Let's make it happen. They didn't even know where they were going to be playing. Almost what, a couple months before it all started?
Yeah.
Add to that that the River Center parking ramp was a crumbling mess, and then you know, it was standing room only, if not over capacity, at the trio rink.
Yeah.
You know, that was a pretty kick-ass start to the season. I don't think the Wild's practice rink is going to be able to hold the Whitecaps crowd for long. I don't. All right, what else is going on? Because I got some stuff.
Groundbreaking at Alliance Stadium starts this week. God, I forgot when their actual opener is, but so we'll have a new place to go this summer, which will be nice.
For beach volleyball, women's beach volleyball, women's beach volleyball.
Probably. I wonder who's going to be the first concert in there too. But we know the first things that are going to make sounds in there are going to be some birds called the loons, a.k.a. the Minnesota United. So off to a decent start this year too, by the way. So
first concert there should be the guy from Sunday's Race. Vince Neil. Kickstart my heart. Tell you about that in just a minute. But yeah, the Alliance going on new stadium opening. That is interesting if you're from Minnesota. But how many teams approximately does that even compile? I mean, we're not just talking about Minnesota here.
Who, MLS?
Sure. Yes.
They got like 24.
Oh, it's Jeff Gordon's number. I hate that number.
Oh, yeah. Major League Soccer's got 24 teams.
All right, so we got that. What are they, 2-1 or 1-2?
Yeah.
Or is it 1-1 or... Which?
Yeah, I believe they're 2-1 now. Started out 2-0, so I believe they open up the place against New York. And which New York team, I'm not sure. But I just think it's NYC.
The Whitecaps are better. They open up their season with like 6-0 or 7-0. Hey, here's something cool. WWE SmackDown. Hear anything about that?
No.
It's going to Fridays on Fox. Actual network TV. Yes. It's a kick in the ass that they need. Nobody thinks, I mean, Grandpa and Grandma don't think that WWE even exists anymore. It's because Grandma and Grandpa can't afford cable. And they got to go and hold the land. And I'm not saying hold a corner. I'm saying hold the land.
Okay.
And And what better thing to do on a Friday night than to kick back to some WWE SmackDown? And that, and the fact that we might get our WrestleMania in 2020, although it's more likely for 2021. So hey, you want to add in some more wrestling news? You know who Rey Mysterio is?
Oh, yeah.
You know what he did Sunday?
No.
He drove the pace car.
Oh, really?
There was even a helmet designed to look like his mask.
No, no.
How cool is that? So, yeah, add to that thunder, Vince Neil was part of the celebrity whatever guys coming out on the pit road, and along with Jay Leno and I was trying to look up all the names, but they called them the Motley Pit Crew. You gotta love that. The Motley Pit Crew. All right, where are we at? We're an hour and 20 minutes in. Let's see. We went multi-sports. We did the Gophers. I didn't do a Gopher. You did a Gopher. The Whitecaps. WWE SmackDown to Fridays. I had so many more notes in this. And let me look up.
I got to look at how the Gopher softball team is doing, because at the beginning of the year, they were ranked again.
Yeah, but you're supposed to have that stuff prepared.
Same thing with the baseball team. What are they supposed to do this year? Because they were ranked last year. I know they're not the teams. They're not the teams over there on the campus that people are kind of talking about this week, but.
It goes against my better judgment, but I'm going to go ahead and open up Facebook Live. And let's see. Got myself set for interactive. No one's going to be. All right, let's go here. No one's going to be able to hear Captain Kurt.
Lucky them.
But we're going into our final laps. And you know what's really cool is you guys can see me, and I can't see you because I got my teleprompter going across the middle of the screen. All right, final laps.
Lucky them.
Oh, I just had a bunch join in. Hold on a second. I got to make sure that I know who's. Okay, I got Lisa Preston, and I got Dale Nygaard. And
never heard of
all right. All right, Kurt, I'm just going to have to repeat what you say, being that I don't have a audio feed for you. What would be your favorite position on a pit crew?
People have caught me, so I'm going to say
people
the jack man.
Oh, Kurt said the jackman. The jackman would be his favorite position on pit road. Now, that's very, very creative. I like that, actually. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I got a justice camera. So, the jackman. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Dale. Hey, Burl. How you doing, buddy? I just asked Kurt what his favorite position would be on a pit crew. On a NASCAR pit crew, Indy pit crew. I got Mike Huseman on here now, too. So what would be Kurt's favorite position? He said jackman. Who the hell answers that question with jackman? I mean, I thought that my answer was going to be bad. It's not that bad. Okay. I got it. Hey, what's up, Dale? I'm going to send Dale a message. What should I send Dale a message from you, Kurt?
Well, just say, hell, we've all been jackmen once in a while, so why not get paid for it? Do it professionally.
Dale, Kurt just said that everybody's jacked something at some point, so we might as well get paid for it. Just giving you a heads up. The problem is I don't have the correct adapter to get my live show from Blog Talk Radio to work on this system. All right. I got to flip open my teleprompter thingy. You know what my actual answer was?
Gasman.
What would be your favorite? Oh, here, Dale just sent us. Hey, you said there's no doubt about that, Kurt.
Good. All right.
You need your own. Kurt, you seriously need to get a webcam so you can interact on all this stuff. You know, mine's just not as funny after what you came up with. But my question was, and I wish Huseman might even chime in on this. But the question was, what would be your favorite position on a pit crew? I would like to be the duct tape guy. The guy that's on the back of the wall making all those big pieces of duct tape to cover any problem down to the point where even if you need to replace a driver, you have a driver made of duct tape in case the guy is too injured. Now, wouldn't that just be proper? But yeah, your jackman thing just kind of ruined my my whole scenario. There's a lot of people watching. I'm trying to read some of the names. Can't quite say. Oh, I know what I need to do. And now I gotta go larger. So, hey, we're going to wrap up the Blog Talk Radio show in just a minute here. Well, we got more time than I thought, but I put my jokes in the wrong positions. Not that they're good jokes, just I didn't expect Kurt to do a good job with the Jackman. So, there's a cleaning maid service in the building here. And they go over, they're called honey buns. And they go and clean people's houses in their Daisy Dukes. And I don't even go any farther into asking them about what they actually do. But my office is a mess. It really is. I'm not paying some girl to come over from down the hall and take my trash out, scrub down my desk. I can do it myself. I just choose not to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Anytime I think about a woman cleaning something for a man, though, this is years ago on The Simpsons, but one of Homer's ultimate Father's Day fantasies was to have Marge do yard work for him. And it was funny. He was making Marge do the yard work.
By the way, our bumper monster, Jesse Preston, checked in. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything, though. Oh, well.
Wonder if he's looking forward to the year.
He's probably looking for a Jackman. All right. Unfortunately, I'm going to wrap. Because tonight got a little squinched. And, hey, there goes Lyle. Last week's victory lane. But I'm going to go to this week's victory lane. And I am going to say it's got to be a toss-up. I mean, we can choose from, I have three. I don't know if you have any. But Kyle's 200th. The Whitecaps. Or men's golfers moving on. What do you think?
Oh, I gotta go. I'm personally gonna go with the golfers, just because, let's be real. Just over a year ago, we were going through this thing with the Vikings, and if they win in the first round, people are gonna start talking about it. I don't think they're gonna make it to the final four. And by the way, I do not want to have what's happened in the two previous Final Fours here with Duke and Michigan. But, getting the golfers in there just is cool. And they beat Purdue again. They just had a fun year. And I would like to just say, could we please get a Big Ten tourney here? They would be kind of fun to go to. I mean, you guys have had them in New York. You've had them in D.C., get one here.
Hey, folks, I know you can't hear me, but Kurt's complaining because we don't get a Big Ten tourney, even though we get a Final Four. Your response, Mr. Reed?
Well, I'm not saying we should have gotten the Big Ten tourney this year. I'm just saying, can we get it at some point? It seems like it's in Chicago a lot, and you guys have, it's been in New York. It's been in D.C., and I know why, but get one here, mix it up a little.
All right. So who's your victory lane?
Oh, the Gophers.
All righty. You're calling Gophers. I'm calling I'm not going with Kyle Busch. I got to say Whitecaps.
Mm.
So, all right. We're going to sign off until Thursday, right? Yeah? Now that
yeah.
the doctors let you off the orders?
Yeah. Well, I'm on the same orders, but everything looked good today, so.
You're still on the same meds. Who cares?
And not as many, though. I haven't had to take as many over the weekend, so, like I did on Friday.
So you're still not ready to join the Motley Pit crew?
Nah, not yet, but I finally went down. I went to the store today, so I was kind of happy about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Kurt's talking to me online right now. All right, I'm going to shove off. Let's do this again Thursday, and thanks for everyone that chimed in, and I am going to hit the bumper music and call it a night. Thank you.
Goodbye.